Say that. I don't remember the exact title that was given for this. I know it's the Heart to Heart, but I'm not sure exactly. Something about the summer. I think everybody here knows that the summer presents certain challenges that we live with during the entire year. But at that time of the year, once things start to move over 78, 80 degrees, the heat is turned up higher in many ways. And the summer presents particular challenge for B'nai Torah or B'nai Aliyah in terms of Kedusha, Shmir Sinai, Shmir Sabris, learning, davening, Emuna. The moon is very, very deeply affected by what we look at, what we think about. And there are no easy solutions. I don't know if the title included anything about solutions. There's certainly no easy solutions. I believe there's only one solution. That's what I want to talk to you about. I spoke to one of the shiurim about this a little bit before Yontif. And then I spoke to the Chevron and Shul about this, and there was a very strong positive reaction, particularly on the part of the men. Mavakshe Hashem, like yourselves. It's very simple and very direct. And I believe very honest. You all know that during this time, the tkufa that we're in right now, that Rabbi Akiva attended 24,000 levayas, 24,000 funerals. And Chazal say, the Loshen and the Medrash Kehelis is very strong. Chazal say that Ha'olam Hayashamein, that the world was mamish, shamein. What does it mean, shamein? Desolate. We can't be masking such a thing. This was the whole Yiddishkeit that was destroyed. 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. V'haya Olam Shamayim. And the Gemara is not exaggerating. The world was desolate, was empty. And it seemed as if, Chalila, the whole project of Yiddishkeit was finished. There was no future. And then Chazal tells us that Rabbi Akiva was able to gather together a few Talmidim. One gear says five, the other says seven. He gathered together a few Talmidim. One of them was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He gathered together new Talmidim. And he said that all of those before you died because of what happened with them and the way they saw each other on their Madrega, whatever that was, it's not for now. Va'atam al tiyukein. And you, the new chevra, al tiyukein. Don't repeat that mistake that they made. That was the heart to heart of Rabbi Akiva. And that was it. So I'm sure that that anybody that was there would be waiting to hear like at least an hour schmooze. Chizik, encouragement to go forward. All we know is the Chazal say that Rabbi Akiva told him, this is why they died, Atam al tiyukein. And then the next thing we know, it says, Miyad omdu umilu eskol Eretz Yisrael Torah. That the five of them went, or seven, umilu eskol Eretz Yisrael Torah. Like a mamish, like an atom bomb. they filled the whole Eretz Yisrael. Toyer Eretz Mikvay Decha. They filled the whole Eretz Yisrael with Torah. They brought back Yiddishkeit. And from that time began, in the strongest way, the whole Hispaschus of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Yiddishkeit took off in the most dramatic way. So it's hard to understand. Miad Omdu, that they immediately stood up, that was it. After they heard Rabbi Kiva just said, don't do this again, like don't mess up. And Miad Omdu, Umilus Kalis Seltar. What was it exactly that they heard or that they didn't hear? What was it that happened? So let's go many, many years into the future. It was 1946. Vahaya ha'olam shomei. And the world was mamish desolate. All the great yeshivas of Europe were destroyed. All the great chatzeres of Admorim, of Tzadikim, of Chassidus, destroyed. V'ahaya ha'olam shomei. And the world was completely and absolutely desolate. And at that time, Rav Chaska Levinstein, Zechet Tzad V'Kosh Levracha, who had survived with other Talmidim, as you know, from the Mir, and then in Japan and Shanghai, and came to America for a short time. Reb Chaskel was here for a very short time, and then he went there to sell. So Reb Chaskel was sitting with some of the survivors, the Talmidim, and V'ahaya ha'olam shomei. Now what? And the chevra, these are big talmid chachamim. I had the schus of learning under two of them. They were sitting and they were talking about something that was very interesting. And they were discussing how the best learning of their lives was during the gullus of those 5 to 6 years that they were in Shanghai, in Japan and in Shanghai. It was the best learning of their lives. The most elevated Yiddishkeit, davening, that they felt in their lives was during that miserable time that they were in China, which wasn't concentration camp. They were spared that, Baruch Hashem. But it was rough. It was very, very hard. In many, many ways, I'm sure many of you are familiar with what happened there and what they went through. It wasn't easy. And they were talking about how the learning, the davening, the avayda b'chlal was on a different level. And they were wondering, back when they were in that fortress of Torah, back in the Mir, could be there were some other guys, some other yeshivas, because you know that there were other yeshivas that gathered together there. And we were with our Rosh Yeshiva, and with the Mashgichim, and the Mashpim, and the Tzadikim, and so on. We were all together in our communities. We never felt such learning in davening. And Reb Chaskel, the Mashgiach, was sitting there. And Reb Chaskel said the following. Reb Chaskel said, the way that it's written in the Sefer, obviously he said it to them in Yiddish, but the way that it's written in the Sefer, I saw it, was Shom, over there, in Shanghai, Shom, Lamadnu mitoich tchusha shel achrayis. I don't think I have to translate, but I will. Shom, when we were there, we were learning with a feeling, with a sense, a tchusha of achrayis, of responsibility. And he went on to explain. We didn't know. We were getting reports contradictory bulletins, news reports every day. From what we were hearing, we were the only ones left. It seemed to us that Hitler, Yimach Shemo, had finished everybody off. We didn't know what was there. It seemed to us that this could be the end. What happened in Europe was finished. And that the Russia was successful. And that we were the only survivors from the yeshivas, from that world, of that Torah of so many generations, so many years. Those who heard the words come out from Reb Chaskel Havenstein, Amdu umilu es ha'olam Torah. They stood up and they filled the world with Torah. This is one of the places that was filled with their Torah. My Rebbe, Reb David Lifshitz, Zeches Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, was one of those people. And others who we hear, and in all of the yeshivas. Amdu umilu America, Eretz Yisrael, Paris, London, Torah. How come Rabbi Akiva didn't have to have like 3 days, you know, you may even to take out a hotel someplace in Tveria? On the future of Orthodoxy in the world, and to study some of the most recent statistics of what happened, 24,000 students died, now what? Doesn't seem that there were any studies that were made, and the Talmidim didn't stick around for any shmuz. Miyad omdu, they immediately stood up. Umilu es kol Eretz Yisrael Torah. Reb Chaskel's Talmidim, all of whom had lost their families, everybody was dead. Some of them had. Most of them came without anybody. Amdu, umilu es ha'olam Torah. What about all the chizik? You know, you and I always need a lot of chizik, right? We need chizik. We need chizik. Before we left for Yontif, I was in the Beis Medrash learning with a couple of guys. And there was a boy, I don't know who he is, a very sweet boy, came over and said that he's going to get himself a Pesach. Maybe I can give him some words of chizik. And I was thinking, like, why do you need chizik? Maybe you can give me chizik. I'm in Woodmere for Pesach. you need chizik? Is he going to Yerushalayim for Pesach? What kind of chizik do you need? All the swarms are coming out now. Chizik, more chizik. We need chizik. I have 10 messages, at least 10 messages a day. Sometimes it seems like an hour about, Rebbe, this happened. I need some chizik. I need chizik. I need chizik. What about Rebbe Akiva's Talmidim? The new Talmidim? What about Reb Chaskel's Talmidim? The survivors? What about my parents? They should live and be well. Who gave my parents chizik? My father never heard a chizik shmuz in his life. He gets chizik when he learns Chumash Rashi and the Blat Gemara. But miyad amdu, I saw. I was raised in that world of Jews who felt an achrayus. I was raised feeling an achrayus. It's a very hard thing to carry, that generation of the children. But let me explain Rochel Bircha Ktana, what this means. In a very simple way. Tchusha shel achrayus. And you'll see exactly what it has to do with the summer and with year-round avodah. But particularly the negiah to now. The Gemara says in Chulin Daf Pei Daled. The Gemara there is talking about supporting one's family, supporting oneself. And the Gemara says, La'olam yorchel odom v'yishta pachs v'ma sheyeshlo v'yilbash v'yizkas v'ma sheyeshlo. The Gemara says an interesting thing. I'm not going to go into the Pratim. It's over there in Pei Daled and Beis in Chulin. The Gemara says that a person should always be very frugal with how he spends money for himself, and to eat and to drink just what he needs to spend as little money as possible. When it comes to dressing in a bekavadig way, there's more money that's needed for that. But then the interesting thing is, b'yichabed es ishto ubonav b'yoyisim emashi yeshla. You should be mechabed your children and your wife with more money than you have. What does that mean? There were no credit cards then. If you didn't have the money, you couldn't spend it, right? Maybe you found a nice guy in a makolot that would write your name down, and you'd pay later or something. But what does that mean? Yichabed es bonav es ishto ves bonav b'yoyisim emashi yeshla, with more than what you have. So wait, this is the Gemara that goes on and says, Shehein tluyin bo. Because these people depend on you. Your wife and kids depend on you. V'hu talu b'misha ame v'haya ha'aylam. And you, the father, the husband, you're dependent upon the one who said that the world should exist. You're dependent upon a Kadosh Baruch. The Gemara here is telling us a tremendous, tremendous yesod. Again, I said, they're not chidush. I'm not saying anything fancy. Simple, but a tremendous yisod. But the yisod the Gemara is saying is that if a person is makabel achrayis, if one accepts upon himself the responsibility to take care of those who depend upon him, be'emes, that this is my achrayis, it's not my parents, not the grandparents, it's not my parents, not my in-laws, it's not the government's responsibility. It's my responsibility. The moment that a person, that a yid, accepts upon himself the achrayis for a davish b'kedusha, for something which is holy and needs to get done, and he takes responsibility for that which he needs to take responsibility, be'emes, then he is tapping into something which is me'al u'me'ever, which is above and beyond the normal kaiches that he has. Therefore, the condition is, v'hu talui b'misha ama v'haya ha'olam. He can carry his wife and kids, even though the economy looks bleak, even though no one's helping me, even though I'm doing this all on my own. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the school. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the food, for this, for that, for the new shoes, for yontif. I don't know how. I don't know why I'm going to come up with it. The Gemara is saying he is so. That he's mechabed as ishto, v'yechabed as ishto, v'es bonav b'yoyis mimashi yeshlo, shehein tluyim bo. Because they're dependent upon you. And you accepted their achrayis for them. And the tnai, the condition is that you feel in the deepest way that you are carrying out God's will and you're accepting the achrayis to carry out Hashem's Baruch's will, and va'ata toli, and you trust in the one who created the world. Because the one who created the world can create for you the money that you need to take care of your wife and kids. This yesod is not only in regard to being financially responsible. That itself is a huge discussion for another time, which is lost upon many of the chevra of our times, of our generation. Just a kabbalas achrayis, that was something that our parents and grandparents took for granted. My children and my wife are my responsibility. I know it sounds like something very, very radical. Not the shver, not the shviger, not my parents. My responsibility, my wife and children's my responsibility. It used to be that was a davar pashut. But what the Gemara is telling us is not just about financial responsibility. What the Gemara is saying is that in every area of life there are tremendous nisyonos. One of them is parnasa. And many of you are worried about that. Because you have to decide, what am I doing? I want to get married. How am I going to pay for that? And so on. One of those worries, one of the responsibilities of life is financial, to support a family. That's one of the challenges. And this summer, many of you will probably be going for different internships, working in different places. taking achrayas, maybe in a camp, for kids who need additional help, or for teaching others Torah, and so on and so forth, whatever that job is. And there'll be other nisyonis, there'll be other challenges that come up wherever you go, especially in the summer. When it comes to inyanim of Shmir Sinai and Kedusha, when it comes to one's learning, one's davening. When the boys, when the men who survived the war came and they said to Rabbi Chazkel, in Shanghai we felt the learning, the davening was something different. And Rabbi Chazkel said, you felt that the whole world was on, you felt an achrayis for Yiddishkeit, you felt an achrayis for the world. You felt an achrayis for the light of Hashem in this world. And when a person feels achrayis, and you take achrayis, then you're infused with something me'al me'aver that comes from another place. The person who faces the summer without taking achrayis for a seder and learning every single day, not I'll see how it goes. It's not kabbalas achrayis. Tell that to your future father-in-law when he asks you, "So how are you going to support your wife and my grandchildren?" I'll see. I'll see how it goes. Your past record in yeshiva shows that you show up to minyan maybe once or twice a week. Is that how you plan on supporting my grandchildren? Like, why are you on my case? That's my daughter you're marrying, and you're going to have my grandchildren. I'd like to know what you have planned. Oh, wow. You're asking me to be Mekabel Achrayis? Yeah, I'm asking Mekabel Achrayis. You're going to marry my daughter, and you're going to take care of my grandchildren. I'd like to know if you're Mekabel Achrayis for that. You want me to sign something? It's a Kabbalas Achrayis. If you're learning in the summer, it's any time, but particularly when the regular storm of life are not staring at you, where no one's sitting, whether it's the Rebbe or the Shear assistant or somebody, taking down your name, writing, looking to see whether you're here, you're there. When there's nobody standing over you to remind you. And during a time of the year where, in a certain way, Haya Olam Shomein, where there's desolation in many ways. It always boils down to the question of Kabbalas Achrayis. Everything, any other Eitzah that you're going to hear, or any other Eitzah that you try, could work a little bit. But unless you're a person that you enter into that time of the year, and you accept upon yourself the Achrayis in the deepest way, how each one does that, I'm not getting to right now. The Achrayis of Tefillah B'Tzibur. The achrayis of having a chavrus, of having a seder and learning. Not I'll try. Not that I'll see how it goes. Where a person feels an achrayis. I've had chevra boys that have come to talk to me to say that they have a chavrus, and the chavrus shows up like once every 3 days. And when he comes, he'll come a half hour late. I already feel bad for the girl that's going to marry that guy. Because he's 19, 20 years old, and there's no kabbalas achrayis. And if you ask him, what's wrong with you? You got the chavrusa sitting there waiting since for a half hour. Where are you? So he might answer, if he's a very firm guy, he might say, you know, I could talk to you some chizik in that. I need some chizik. Or we can have a Shabbaton, or maybe we can turn off the lights and play some songs, and I can get some chizik, maybe something, a little Kutamaran, a little Svazemes, something. I need some chizik. I can't get to my chavrusa. If the guy's waiting for you there 3 days, you don't show up. And then you come half hour late. The Baruch Shalom is waiting for you every morning to come to shul. You're 20 years old. You need chizik. Say that we all need chizik. Tefillah is one of the things the Gemara says needs chizik. The problem is when a person doesn't have that tchusha of achrayis. How one strengthens that is a very, very big discussion. A commitment, a feeling of achrayis. Because what's amazing is that when a person takes upon himself achrayis, and he says, this is my achrayis, tefillah b'tzibur, my seder and learning, and then can go beyond that. My achrayis is regarding my eyes and my mind, even though chevra your age think that it's not possible, I can't possibly be such a person that can guard my eyes, that could possibly guard my thoughts. It's not true. Everybody can, to a much greater degree than we are. Not perfect. I'm not talking here about tzaddik yisrael, but much, much better. Yeah. But you don't have the kaiches. You know from your own experience in life. You know from your own life that you don't have the strength to stand up to the challenges of the street of the zam. You don't have such strength. Just like that person thinks, I don't have the strength to get up and daven b'tzibur. I don't have the strength to get to the shir. You have people walking around in their pajamas at 10 o'clock in the morning or something. I don't have the strength to get to my shir. I don't have the strength to be able to go two nights without looking at that place on the computer or on the phone that I should never look at. I can't do it. And there are people who feel I don't have the strength. There are people walking around making the rounds. You'd be yesterday in the five towns. There are hundreds of Jews making the rounds. They've all fallen into different difficult situations, asking for other people to pay to take care of them, that they need money. Obviously, sometimes it's impossible to do it otherwise. Everybody has their own story. But a lot of these people, they're healthy, they're young. They're just not taking a chrayis with their lives. So the answer is always, I can't get a job. I can't hold the job. Nobody will hire me. I know this because I've tried. These type of diburim, and then maybe you can give me some chizuk, how I can get a job. These type of diburim are the lashaynas of Jews who never left Mitzrayim. Plain and pashut. Never left Mitzrayim. I explained Shabbos HaGadol that the promise that Hashem Baruch made to Avraham Avinu that we're going to leave Mitzrayim, Biruchush Gadol, we're going to become very rich, right? And that seemed to be a very important part of Yitzhak's time. Akedei Kach, that Hashem Baruch said, I made the promise to Avraham Avinu that they're going to, his children are going to be slaves, and what are they going to say if I don't keep the second part of the promise, that what? V'yetzer Biruchush Gadol, doesn't look nice. So Avraham Avinu cares so much about money. And where are you going to go shopping in the Midbar? What kind of... I'm not sure. So you take it with your edges. So, what's this inyan of Ruchush Gadol? So I explained on Shabbos HaGadol that Avraham Avinu is not worried about money. He couldn't care less. He told the king of Sdom, I don't want Michutat Suchnal. I don't want any of your money. I don't need your money. Avraham Avinu was worried about this. Rabbi Shalom, you're going to make my children, my eniklach, into slaves. The whole teva of a slave is kol ma'asha kone eved kone rabbi. Meaning that a slave doesn't have anything. A Mitzrayim, a Jew in Mitzrayim, didn't own anything, didn't have anything of his own. Bekitzer, he had no achrayis. Even his family, that he had, whatever he had, was taken care of by the state. This is what happened in Russia. What Stalin did to us. You saw it. What happened? How is it possible that millions of Jews lost everything? The Yiddish guy. I mean, Stalin killed many, but but there were many, many that he didn't kill. But the Yiddish guy was destroyed. In a relatively short time. Hoya ha'olam shomeim, in communist Russia, Yiddish guy was lost. How did that happen? Stalin didn't run any gas chambers. He had other ways of killing people, but not with gas chambers. So how did he bring to such a shmamayim, to such desolation? When a person owns nothing, when a person has no achrayis, when he's being taken care of by the state, by somebody else, by Big Brother, and he has no responsibility for his own life, he has no tchusha of achrayis, the mimele, he loses his karchas. He becomes weak. This is what happened. He stops working. He feels that he doesn't have the karchas to do anything. He's not a bal achrayis. So Avraham Avinu wasn't worried about Jews being rich. Avraham Avinu was worried about Jews being mitzrayimdik. And mitzrayimdik means I have nothing of my own. A ruchush gadol means a sense of responsibility, of taking care, of owning up to somebody and to something. That's what means Rechush Gadol. Let me give you two historical examples of people where we see this very clearly. So again, let's go back in the past. One of the Shoftim's name was Yiftach, right? So the Navi tells us that the Ziknei Gilad, that the people, the Anshei Gilad, came to him. Jews were in trouble at that time. There was a big war that they had to fight against Ammon. Ammon was much stronger than us, very powerful army. And we were in big trouble. Now the Ziknei Gilad heard about Yiftach, that Yiftach was an impressive fighter, a warrior, a soldier. And the Ziknei Gilad came and spoke to Yiftach about leading the Jewish people, about leading us to war. And he agreed on one condition. The condition was, Anochi eheyeh lochem l'raish, only if I become the leader of the Jewish people. Now, Yiftach was a tzaddik, even though it was Yiftach b'dor Shmuel, he's not Shmuel Anavi, but in his generation, he was a great tzaddik. It's absurd to think that Yiftach was hungry for power, and that he was looking to for like a new job. So what was this Tanai? I will fight, but on the condition that Anochi eyeh lochem l'rosh. So the teretz could be that what Yiftach was saying is that on my own, I don't have the strength to lead the Jewish people to victory. We can't do this. We can't win. Just like on your own, you can't win when you fight against the street of New York in 90 degree weather, even 80. On your own, you can't win against a computer that has infinite filth hidden inside of it. On your own, you can't. And Yiftach was saying, on my own, I can't. I can't. But Anochi eyeh lochem l'rosh, but if I take achrayus to be the leader of Am Yisrael, and I'm appointed as the leader of Am Yisrael, Anochi eyeh lochem l'rosh, so then we have this unbelievable program that Hashem Yisbaruch gives us the opportunity to sign up for. That once you sign up and you take achrayus and you lead, it doesn't have to be over a whole army, but you take achrayus. So then what happens is the same way with the man who takes responsibility for his wife and children, he suddenly is tapping into Yosim Yamasha Yeshlo, into more than what he has. Into more than he could ever on his own possibly accomplish as a soldier, as a father, as a husband, as a Ben Aliyah that's trying not to fall into the filth of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. When a person takes achrayis, this is my achrayis. My achrayis is not to do this, and my achrayis is to do this. My achrayis is to show up to daven for my chavrusa. My achrayis is to keep my eyes firmly planted where they belong. My achrayis is that this is what I use my computer for, and this is what I don't use it for. And a person becomes more and more of a achrayis that comes together with davening, with tefillah, and with learning. Then the person is connecting to something which is Yosim Mamasha Yeshlo, way beyond anything on his own that he ever could have dreamt that he could possibly do. Let's move all the way into the future, just like we did before, from Rabbi Akiva, we moved all the way to Rav Chaskel. A couple of miles from here, there's a Jew who's buried. From here, you can go in a half hour. When there's no traffic, probably 25 minutes, 20 minutes, you can go. And there's a Jew by the name of Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneers, who's known as the Lubavitch Rebbe, Schus Yigenoim. I'm not talking here about any movement of Lubavitch, whether you like that, you don't like that, you have tinies, you don't have tinies. How did one person do all that he did? And it's not just what he accomplished. Keep in mind that this was a person that was answering every day thousands of letters, that wrote that we have from him over 150, 200 svarim, and a lot of it has not yet been published. Chidushim in Shas, Chidushim in Rabbim, Chidushim in Chassidus, Chidushim in Kabbalah, who every single person who walked into him discussed the thesis, the doctoral thesis that he wrote in physics and myth, the Lubavitch Rebbe would make ha'aris to point out how it's not ready yet, this thesis. There was somebody who I once spoke to who was a professor of medieval English literature, who went to meet the Rebbe, and the Rebbe corrected an article that he had written about Chaucer. He only started speaking English a couple of years earlier. Where did he have the time for that? And then you hear all of the unbelievable stories about how there was a Jew someplace on some island somewhere, and the Rebbe sent a shliach, go to this place, there's a yid over there, he needs to have a lulav, he needs to have matzah. There are thousands of stories, not one or two, thousands of stories like this. How did he know what was going on over there? Ruach HaKadosh is the easiest thing to say, Ruach HaKadosh, and I believe that the tzaddikim of Ruach HaKadosh, but it's more than that. Or, I don't want to say more, it's much more relevant than that. What's relevant to us is that Jew, that amazing Jew, it's true he was a genius, he had gewaldige kaiches, it's true, much bigger kaiches than he had, it's true. But even with that, how did he do all of that? Because in our generation, it would be hard pressed to find any other person who took upon himself the achrayas of Am Yisrael like him. He took upon himself the achrayas that every Jew in the world should be able to have a matzah. That every Jew in the world should be able to bench lulav. That every Jew should have a seder. And then he was able to accomplish things that even with his kaiches were impossible. The Rambam schedule that we know, because he wrote it to his Talmud, what his schedule was. It's not possible that a human being, that the Rambam could do such things. Or if we talk about all of Chachmei Yisrael, the Ran talks about this in the Drushas HaRan in the 7th Drush. The Ran discusses there the need of Torah Lobi Shemayim. And he speaks about the Siyaita Deshmai that Chachmei Yisrael have. The Chachamim took upon themselves the Achrayis to uphold Hashem's Torah forever and ever. And because the Chacham took upon themselves that achrayis, and Torah is lo b'shamayim, the Baruch Shalom said, Kindelach, you got to take care of it yourself. I gave you the material to work with, now you have to go ahead, and you have to teach Torah, and you have to uphold my mitzvahs. So you look, the other Ran speaks about this, Chachmei Yisrael was zoiches to siyata d'shmai, how did they get the Ruach HaKadosh? Yes, the Lubavitcher had Ruach HaKadosh, and the Rambam had Ruach HaKadosh. And the Chachmei Yisrael and all the generations, they have Ruach HaKadosh. But how do you get that? Of course there's a regimen of learning and davening of the mikveh, of course. But the ikur is Kabbalah Achrayis. That when a person is Makabal Achrayis, when he recognizes that he has in his life a responsibility for Rechush Gadol, for Rechush Gadol, I was talking before about how I was raised. My family, my father never told me, Beferish, like all of your grandparents, everybody was killed, you make sure that you be a Jew. I never heard such words. I have a couple of friends that got talks like that. My father's not the type. He never gave me a talk. Like, you better make sure that you be from, you know. Because when I was doing things that were not so pleasing to my father, he never gave me like a Holocaust talk. I never heard that. But I grew up feeling every moment of my life to this day. An achrayis for my grandparents who were killed. An achrayis for the Torah that wasn't learned because of what happened. An achrayis for the Yiddishkeit of my children and grandchildren, that maybe someone who's not a child of survivors didn't feel the same way. Maybe yes, maybe no. But on a deeper level, the beginning of Kabbalah's achrayis, which brings a person into that world that is miraculous, that world that's much higher than himself. The beginning of that Kabbalah Sechrayis could be understood from an amazing story that took place with another heroic Jew, the Panovizhe Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now, the Panovizhe Rav was in America, and his entire family was back in Europe. He wasn't able to get back in Europe. He wanted to get back to Europe. He couldn't. And his family was killed. He was here raising money for the yeshivas. And his family was killed. Of course, eventually the Panovizhe Rav went and he built the Panovizhe Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. And not only did he build that yeshiva, but to a large extent he was responsible for building many, many of the yeshivas that are there now in Eretz Yisrael. He was behind it. He wasn't only raising money for Panovizhe. He was behind many, many of the yeshivas. One of the projects, like he wasn't busy enough, one of the projects of the Panavish Rav, who, by the way, was one of the greatest Talmidim of the Chofetz Chaim, was a Goyin Olam, Mamish. One of the inyonim of the Panavish Rav was to take care of the Yisaimim and the Yisaimis, the refugees who came without parents, who came to Eretz Yisrael after the war. And the Panavish Rav took this upon his shoulders, and he was raising money and finding homes and schools and food and clothing for these kids, the younger survivors who came mamish without anything. So I saw in the Sefer about the Panavish Rav that it was the first bar mitzvah of one of these survivors, of these children. It was the first bar mitzvah after the Muhammad. The first bar mitzvah. And many people came for that. And all of these children, the Panavish Rav's kids, that he was taking care of, they came to celebrate the bar mitzvah of the oldest boy. It was first Simcha after the Holocaust. And the people who were running the bar mitzvah asked the Panavish Rav to speak, but he was very, very emotional. He didn't want to talk. Until finally the boy himself, the bar mitzvah bacher, asked the Panavish Rav if he could say a few words. And he couldn't refuse the boy. So it was Parashas Shmini, last Shabbos. And the Panavish Rav brought the pasuk, V'yedaber Moshe el Aaron v'lo lozer v'el yisomer, bonov ha-nesorim. That Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Aaron, to Lozer, and yisomer, bonov ha-nesorim, the surviving sons of Aaron. It said, k'chus ha-mincha, to take the mincha, to bring the mincha. Then later on, when it wasn't exactly the way that Moshe Rabbeinu meant, V'yiktsoy v'lo lozer v'el yisomer, b'nei Aaron ha-nesorim leimer. The Moshe was upset with the surviving sons of Aaron. Because Nadab and Avihu, of course, were killed. These are the surviving sons. So the Panavish Rav asked, why does the Torah label them in such a way? It seems to be very harsh. Why call them the surviving children of Aaron? We know who they are. Just say the children are. Their names are the children. What's Bonav Hanesarim? The Torah repeats it. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was angry with them because of the mistake. So then, again, Vayiksov it says, Moshe, Al Bonav Hanesarim Leimor, the surviving children, and he said to them, V'chulu. So the Panavish Rav asked, why? Why Bonav Hanesarim? Why the surviving children? And his answer was unbelievable. The Panavish Rav said that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that if you're a survivor, then for the rest of your life, it's hard. But for the rest of life, you have to ask yourself, why was I saved? Why am I surviving? Why was I left? Everybody else was taken. Why am I here? Laman no sarati, not lama, not why did I survive, but for what purpose did I survive? For what purpose did I survive? And the Panavish Rav said this to the Bar Mitzvah Bachar. It's a hard talk to give it a Bar Mitzvah. Now don't try it out on your son, Mr. Shaman. But the Panavish Rav said to this boy, your parents were killed, your grandparents were killed. You're the Ben HaNoyser, the only one of your family that survived. Leman Noysarta, why are you alive? Why are you here? For what purpose did you survive? Not why. For what purpose are you here? What do you need to do in your life? I don't think it's possible for me to convey this to the younger generation. I could only share with you the feelings that I had of being from the from my parents, you're seeing from my parents a feeling that they were the nosarim, that they were the survivors of their families, and that subsequently, on some level, my sister and I felt that way as well, and so did my other friends that were part of that world. But the truth of the matter is, Chevra, that even though you live in Jewish communities, most of you, some of you larger, some of you smaller, and you were in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva, and we have our nice little world over here in Yeshiva, the truth of the matter is that we're the surviving children of thousands of years of Jewish history. We're the survivors. There aren't so many of us. There aren't so many of us. You don't have to go so far to discover that. The whole world is not Yerushalayim, it's not Bnei Brak and Gula, it's not Muncie, it's not Flatbush, Farakwiya, Queens, it's not Teaneck, and it's not Fairlawn. It's a big world, and we're the surviving children to be here at the end of time. And the world is desolate. The world is empty of Kedusha, of Torah, Yirat Shamayim, of Emunah. And for whatever reason, you and I ended up in yeshiva. And we have to ask ourselves, Lema nosarnu? Not Lama, Lema. For what reason are we here? Why are we survivors? Why are we in the world? A sensitive Jew should feel an achrayis for other Jews, and to feel an achrayis for his chavrusa, to feel an achrayis to show up at davening, to feel an achrayis to show up at learning, to be able to be makabel achrayis that I'm going to make this summer much better than last summer, that if I'm going to be an intern in some office in Manhattan, then I'm going to be careful with where I look. As much as I can, I'm going to be makabel achrayis. If I could be makabel achrayis for 5 hours a day, whatever that is, but it has to be with the kabbalas achrayis of Shemir Sinai. With the kabbalas achrayis. How to speak. There's a young lady that's working there. This is not only an office. If you go on some program for teaching, there might be girls, there might be... there are a lot of nekevis in the world, you know that? They're all over the place. You don't talk to that person the same way that you would talk to a friend of yours. I know this sounds very old-fashioned, and I'm not suggesting you don't say good morning. You have to be careful how you say good morning. And you have to accept the achrayis to see through that there are invisible walls between you and the nekevus where you work. And others with whom, at this time in your life, you should not be making any kind of warm associations. I'm talking honestly with you. You're not babies. It means to be Baal Echrayis, Chavrusa, Tefila B'Tzibur, especially in the sun, Tefila B'Tzibur, Mincha, Mincha Marv, a Seder and learning, not to go to sleep at night without learning, having Seder and learning, learning Svar Makadayishim every single day, whether it's Musa or Chassidus, whatever you're connected to, every day. Strong, half hour, hour, makes no difference how tired you are, with the Kabbalas Echrayis. That's why it usually works better with a chavrus at this time of life, because if you have a conscience, you feel at least, I got to show up, it's not nice. With Kabbalas Achrayis. Now I want to share with you to end. The moment that this inyan of Achrayis, I decided that I wanted to talk about it to you and to the chavrin in shul, when I felt an Achrayis to talk about it. And I had rishus from this individual and his wife, not to say his name, I would never say his name, but rishus to talk about the inyan. There's a husband and wife in my community who have 4 married children, this beautiful family, and many grandchildren, Leah and Hara. And there was around 12 years ago, 11 and a half, 12 years ago, there was a situation that came their way. They had always helped with foster children through OHEL, having in their home. But there was a situation that came to them about a little baby, a little girl, whose parents were incapable of raising her. Mamish incapable. Serious issues there. One father with drugs in jail, and the mother not at all in a place, not normal. And it was, at the beginning it was some foster care, and then it became clear that these children have nowhere to go. And this couple in my shul, with the four children who were married, accepted the achrayus, and they adopted this little girl, the baby. She's a beautiful girl, but she has a lot of inyanim. I'll leave it at that. She's a bas mitzvah girl now, and a lot of challenges, school, even with Yiddishkeit, there's a lot of challenges. These are two people who could have already been like almei menuchas, you know? Mamash almei menuchas. Kids are married, just have nachas. And they're day and night spending every one of the, every penny they have on this. They have to make all kinds of tests, you know, learning all different things, and camp, all the things they have to. So we were together at a simcha a few weeks before Yontif, and I don't know what got into him. I asked a terrible question, because he was discussing with me the problem that he's having with the girl, some of these problems, and asking me for any advice that I had about, you know, who to speak to or a place, whatever. She can't be in a regular yeshiva anymore. So it's a big parasha. So I couldn't help myself. I asked him, do you ever regret taking this upon yourself? Like, do you ever, you and your wife ever regret this? And toch kedei dibur, not even. He said to me, Rebbe, not for a second. Hashem brought it our way. It's our achrayus. It's a Jewish child. So I was totally blown away by that. I came home, I told my wife this thing, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Not for a second. He said that I don't have 1 second of regret. It's my achrayus, our achrayus, and we'll do it. It'll be good. That's a yid. That's what it means to be a Jew. And I do believe that it'll have siyata d'shmaya me'al me'eve. Achav, I want to tell you, there's going to be a meeting next week. There's something very, very important that's being put together by some Baalei Achrayus, who have decided that there's no reason why we here in Yeshiva shouldn't be able to be open and honest and to work on the inyan of Shmiras Agris and Kedusha, Shmiras Einayim, not just to have one shmuz, or maybe Shmir Rebbeim, but as guys, to work together. So we're planning Mitzvah Shem. There'll be specific information coming out over the next day or two, to have, we'll get together next week here in the Yeshiva, to have a shmuz. I'll begin by giving a little bit of an introduction, and then to talk about ideas of how limudim that guys can learn. There's no stigma attached to this. Nothing embarrassing, nothing to be ashamed of. Adarab is something to be proud of. This is exactly what B'nai Aliyah, B'nai Torah need to be doing in our time now. It's enough behind and making believe to be open and to learn and to work on the sugya. We're doing that in my shul. We have every Sunday morning Chaburis Yosef at Tzaddik, fathers and sons coming, and we're learning the Inyan and talking about the Inyan. And the time has come to do that in every yeshiva, in every home, for parents to be open and honest, because otherwise we're just going to lose. And there are some of you here who feel like you're losing, and you're not chalila. You're not losers, and there's no reason to lose. Didon Natzach. I mentioned the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so we can say a lashon. We have to be successful, and we can be successful. If we're mekabel achrayus, to work on it, to think about it, to learn about it, to daven for it, and to work on it, didon natzach, we will be victorious. And Hashem Yisboch will help each and every one of us. So the time will come that, with His help, that this war of Tavshin Ayin Zayin will be finished, and all wars will be finished, and kimeitzeis chemeretz tzayim, erenu neflos with the gula shavamitis, and mehemi amen, amen, amen.